Now we're going to teach you a course you may not know out there. We've been accused this morning of not having any spontaneity in our service here in Mount Calvary. So we're going to try to overcome that today. We're going to try to do something. It's an old chorus we used to sing on a church bus years and years ago, and it goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Years ago at Calvary Road on the church bus, one of the courses they taught me, and we were sitting there waving out the window, no turning back, no turning back like that. Good morning, good to see you this brand new year. You folks look better than you did last year. We'll say that this morning. There you go. Oh, thank you for being out today. I know the weather is a little difficult. We've got a lot of calls in, a lot of messages on the phone, people that decided not to venture out in the potential ice. We would like for you to begin this great year by standing and turning to How Great Thou Art, hymn number 2 in your hymnals. Let's all stand, begin our year with this great hymn of the church, How Great Thou Art, hymn number 2. My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, how great thou art,
How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Heavenly Father, we have come in your house and we just sing with praises your name today. We thank you for this upcoming year. We thank you for all the wonderful gifts and answers to prayer that you gave us in the past year. Let us just have open hearts and open minds and just look forward for what you're going to do in the upcoming year. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen. 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 Please turn. You can be seated if you're able. Team. Can you hear me through there? Good. I will speak up. First of all, does anybody have a birthday on Wednesday? No, we did that. Okay. The new year. The excitement of a new year and the opportunity to just kind of wash the slate clean. To begin with great expectations. And I believe that we're going to see God do more in this year. I can see and I believe that the churches throughout America are going to stand up. I believe from all the challenges and all the stuff, all the things that you hear, the things online, the things on the radio, the things that come in on our news waves, all the challenges that we faced, all the events of this past year have done nothing but point us to what God is going to do in this year. I believe we're going to see people that are going to be excited to simply enjoy the simple things of life. It is so around New Year's, around Christmas time, I have an opportunity to spend time with children more than I do any other time of the year, and I love it. I've not been blessed with children of my own, but have the opportunity to be hopefully a good uncle, I don't know, maybe a good uncle, to go and visit with friends and play with children and watch them open gifts, to just see the way that they enjoy life. I'm amazed. I am encouraged. When I visit relatives and I see those youngsters that so quickly take up the phones, the iPhones, the anything on the internet, and open up that computer and boom, just, I feel terrible, I feel old, I feel inadequate. But at the same time, I feel excited about what they are going to experience in their future. Because trust me, friends, they're going to find out that no matter how much information comes through, no matter how many things are so close at hand at their fingertips, there's still simply one Bible. There's still simply just one God. Jesus died upon a cross for us all. There is one truth that will set our minds and our hearts and our souls free. Our faith and belief in Him. And I believe that as more goes on and as information is being bombarded from every direction, so many time things they have to do. I know that talking to my sister and talking to the schedules of nieces and nephews and about how many obligations and this practice and there and they're going here and they're going there and they have, and I know we're probably raising a generation that has been busier than any other generation's ever been around. Those of you that have children, have teenagers, have or have them in your family, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But I believe with all these things, as life becomes more busy and busy to them, that this truth that we find in God's Word will resonate in their hearts more clearly, more genuine, because everything out there, everything you hear is just stuff. In this book that I have open in front of me, it talks about the real things. It talks about the condition of a person's heart. And I believe that we will see in this upcoming year people who want to feel inside and want to have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe young people will turn from all these different opportunities and find something that they can count on, something that is solid. Something that was talked about by their elders, by the parents, by the grandparents. They will find and enjoy the simple things in life because only those simple things in life will ring true to your heart. And thus I read. In the 18th chapter in the book of St. Matthew, and at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Questions among the disciples. Later on, they will say, who's going to sit where? But Jesus, in his wisdom, Jesus then called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to repeat that verse. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. Open our minds, hearts, so we can receive that message you have for each one of us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Unless you become as a child. I'm dealing with things on a personal level. I told you about going up to the parents, and my father, who'll be ending his years in the 80s here pretty soon. He'll be 89 next year, and in chatting with him, I am now to start to understand more the simple childlike things. What does this verse mean? What is this scripture talking about? You must become as a child. I believe it is one of the basis of what we believe and how we are to focus our life. How we grow as Christian. How we are able to handle the challenges of taking my faith that I believe from this Bible and applying it into my everyday life. That is the challenge of how you're going to live. And Jesus says that we should become as little children. Now, I know that you'll have a lot of thoughts in your mind, and
And I know Christians that I've known that they exemplify those terrible twos. Little children. I don't believe this scripture is talking about you being childlike. I think that this scripture is talking about the faith and the belief that children have. Their willingness to accept. Their willingness to forgive. I'm reminded of two little boys who spent all afternoon one day fighting and fussing and, came home and he told his mom, "I can't believe Timmy, and I'll never speak to him. And The next day after school, he was late getting home and his mother says, "Where have you been?" "Well, I was playing with Timmy." She says, "Well, I'm sorry. I thought you said that what he'd done and he was no longer your friend." And he says, "Mom, let me tell you, Timmy and I were both good forgetters. We're good forgetters. And I believe that being a good forgetter is one of the qualities of coming as a child. I'm amazed when I see children. I'm amazed about how their minds work. How simply they will respond to you as you treat them. What do they want more than anything else? Your time. You can have every gift under the tree." And I was amazed during the Christmas time, I was around sure how quickly the gifts were open and on to the next one and on to the next one. How quickly that little excitement wore off as, the new brand. But the thing that they wanted to do more is, "Let me show you what I've got. I simply want your time to show you what I got." Children value time. They don't get caught up in this busy, busy, busy life that we have. They're not filled with that ability that we adults have of passing judgment on others when we have no right to. Holding on to resentment, holding on to grudges, holding on to negative items. No, children are resilient. And if you will simply give them a bit of your time, you will be rewarded time and time and time more abundantly over and over again. I read in the scripture and it challenges me because I wonder sometimes how we're supposed to fit it all together, make it all work. Take the things of the season that we have just celebrated. And my goodness, what a wonderful, and here under the tree just a couple weeks ago, I saw gifts and gifts. But more importantly, I saw people as those gifts were given out, they were giving hugs back and forth. There were smiles, there were handshakes. It wasn't because of the gift. It was because that you felt that individual took the time enough to say, "I love you." The calendar that went on the wall, I was fortunate these past few days. I had I'll call him a partner in crime. Scott was back there, and we took a ride up and saw the parents. And on Thursday, we were the hunting men. We went out into the cold early in the morning, coffee in hand, guns over shoulder. Then as the weather turned rather nasty, we did what all good hunting men do. We went back home. We sat by the fire. And we, as all macho hunting men would do, we decided to help Mom put the puzzle together. Little pieces. Scott's the kind of guy, you got to watch him, because he will try to place himself where he gets the best light on the puzzle. He will do that. But I forgave him. And he would work in his corner. and I would work in my corner. And my mom, she would work over in the corner, and we had pieces on this puzzle going together. I don't know how many pieces were on this puzzle, but it was a colorful thing. It had horses, it had wagon wheels, it had houses, it had clouds, and you just had your little area there that you worked on. But then occasionally there was an arm that would reach across into your area and try to place a piece over where you were. And they would kind of look with you with a slight disdain of like, you didn't realize that piece goes there right in front of you? No, I didn't realize that. And I received and had more joy putting a puzzle that my mom had purchased at the yard sale at the church for 10 cents. And at the end, when we look back, and I have pictures of my phone taken of that puzzle, and mom, being the expert shopper she always is, she says, well, you know what? I think we got our 10 cents worth. Friends, in life, you need to get your 10 cents worth. You need to start to realize how precious the simple things that God gives you, the simple opportunities. When you have the opportunity, when somebody reaches out to you for a need, and I don't care how small that need is, you have your chance to get your whole 10 cents worth. In my briefcase, I still have the card that Jill made up, and I'll, since Jill's not here today, with all the faces of the ladies in the Sunday school class, and how precious that is. They put a picture of me in it without a bow tie or bright socks, but still I have my picture in it. But I tell you one thing, that picture, it's got its full 10 cents worth, because I've looked at it time and time again. I even took it out to show my mom and point to certain faces. You may have it all. You may have the nicest car. The Super Bowl's coming, so you better have that big screen. I don't know how many inches across it's going to be. You may have accomplished so many great things in your life. But if you have not dedicated yourself to treat others with a childlike kindness, with a true warmth from your heart, then I'm sorry you still haven't received your 10 cents worth. Because I believe that God is just encouraging us to reach out to others through warmth, simple compassion. In just a couple moments, I'm going to ask Joe and Craig to come up. We're going to serve communion this morning. It's a simple wafer representing the body that was broken, a simple cup of juice representing the blood was shed upon the cross. It says in God's word, do this in remembrance of me. So this morning, we're going to thank God for sending his son. We're going to tell God thank you. And I believe that in the year 2014 that you ought to tell others, thank you. Thank you ought to make it your goal, your challenge this year. Focus on people. People. I love the laughter that we have here at Mount Calvary. I love the way we're ourselves. We don't try to put on airs and wow you with our, what was that service we don't have? We are non-conforming. What was it? Our unspontaneous. Our lack of spontaneity here at Mount Calvary. We don't try to wow you with that. What we do is, when in trouble, we want to cry.
When you come in and you're just excited, we want to laugh with you. When your skin gets a little too thin, we want to help you thicken it up. If you have any problem with that, we have the minister of skin thickening. He's called Bob Mumford. You go see him. He will make a special time for you. And trust me, you will not be focused on those challenges of your life. You'll be praying for him before the end of the session, trust me. So I encourage you. I encourage you to serve more in the new year. Heavenly Father, we have come in your house today. We read the scripture where it says that unless we receive you as a simple child would, we would not see the kingdom of heaven. So Heavenly Father, I ask now that you'll just open each one of our hearts as we take time to partake of this wafer. Bless the wafer. As we take time to partake of this small cup of juice, bless this cup of juice. Let us fully understand better what you've done for us, Heavenly Father. And then encourage us and build a fire within us that we can simply serve others. We can make people a priority here in 2014. We can mend fences. We can encourage and we can just pray for that one who simply it looks like there's no hope. But Heavenly Father, with you there is always hope. So allow us to be bold in our prayer, meek in our words, and always full of love for you and for each other. We ask.